We've been going through the book of James, and we are now in chapter 4 of James. It's a little book near the end of the New Testament. And James is really challenging believers to have an active faith, that their faith would be not just within their head, but also something that is expressed, and people would see the evidence of the response to Jesus in their faith. And so today, we're going to be looking at the chapter 4. And this idea in chapter 4 is about submitting to God. And I know submit is a word that can make us feel very uncomfortable. Submitting is something that means that we have to be lower. That means we have to recognize that someone else is in charge, or someone else could be in charge. And so whether you're at work or school, and your family, there's different ways of submitting. But our way as brothers and sisters in Christ is we submit first of all to God. And so we're going to be looking at that today in James chapter 4. And so it says this in James 4. It says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. But when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend on your pleasures." He says, "You adulterous people," verse 4, "you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity with God, against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us?" So that's the first five verses there. Let's look at these. The first part, James is addressing in the church quarrels, fights. Now, if there's fighting and quarreling, there's bickering, there's all kinds of dissension, why is this happening? Brothers and sisters in Christ should be unified under Jesus. And so he's saying, this can't be happening. But really, he says, why is it happening? It's because you have desires within you. Now, he wrote about this earlier in an earlier chapter, about in verse chapter 1, about the desires that are within you. Those temptations, they come inside you, or they are part of your desires. And so your desires, we all have our own desires. And what do we do when we don't get those desires? Well, it depends. Because if we really want those desires, sometimes we hurt each other. And so what are those desires really? Are they desires that are honoring to the body of Christ, to Jesus? Or are they desires for our own selfish ambition, our own pleasures, our own what we want? So these desires, he says that you don't get this stuff, so you covet. You quarrel, you fight. And he says you don't get it because you don't ask God. And if you do ask God, you're asking with the wrong motives. And he says that we are the people, Christians, that are doing this, are adulterous people, unfaithful people. And that they have this problem. They have this problem of they being part of the body of Christ, being part of Jesus, but then also being a friend of the world. Now, he's not talking about being friends with people that are not believers, because obviously Jesus came to the unbelievers. Jesus came and he reached people that don't know him, right? So he wants us to be reaching the world, but he doesn't want us to be having friends that are of the world. Now, not friendships with people, but more like this idea of that we are doing whatever we want, that we are in charge ourselves, that we are listening to the patterns of the world and we're going in with those. And so he says, if you were a friend of the world in this way, if you are trying to be in charge, if you're trying to seek after your own pleasure, then guess what? You're an enemy of God. And that is something I think that no believer wants to hear, being an enemy of God. But James is really clear. You can't be a friend of the world and be part of God. You have to pick one. Are you of the world or are you of Christ? You can't be both. Be committed to one, not both. And I'm going to say, and James wants you also to be all in with Christ, to be all in for Jesus. You know, so today we're looking at submitting. And so what submitting to God looks like is, first of all, we surrender our desires to Him. We surrender our desires. Now, maybe your desires aren't evil and terrible and of this world, but whatever they are, we surrender our desires to Him. Let Him give us a new desire. Let Him give us a desire that's going to be pleasing to Him. But maybe our desires are like this with James, that we're coveting and killing and being adulterous. Like all these words, I mean, these are words that the people, they knew. Those words all came from the Ten Commandments. And they know that we don't break the Ten Commandments, right? And so this is not something that's surprising to them, because these are words that they've heard. But I think it is shocking when they realize, I'm part of this church. Why are you saying that I'm not faithful to God? But if we have the desire that is not for God and our desire is for the world, then we are going to start fighting. We're going to start fighting when we don't get what we want. We're like the toddlers in preschool, or actually daycare, or even sometimes preschool and grade school and all the way up. When you want something and you don't get it, you have this little toy and someone else is playing with it. As soon as someone else plays with it, the other toddler wants it. We've all seen it. We've all seen this, mine, and we fight over it because we don't get what we want. And so, but this happens throughout our lives. Hopefully, it stops earlier, right? But James is calling them out on this. If you have these desires and you're saying, mine, I want this, that is not part of being united in Christ if we're all trying to say what we want instead of what God wants. You know, these problems are still happening today. We have unfaithful Christians that are pursuing worldly pleasures. People calling them Christians and yet not living like one. Now, aren't you glad that's all in the past? That we don't have to deal with that anymore? That Christians, that hypocritical Christians, those are in the past? No, I wish that was all in the past. There's still a lot of people that are choosing their desires over God's desires. They're choosing to not surrender them. They're choosing to not submit to them. They're driven by their own desires. You know, our desires, they drive us. Our desires motivate us. And sometimes our desires aren't that bad. I mean, this week I was grilling these burgers. And they were about to go bad, so we're like, let's grill them all so we can eat them. Let's grill them so we're not going to waste them. And we are trying to get out the door to go to youth group. The kids have eaten some of them. We've been keeping some of the food in the microwave just temporarily. It's because our dog has been really bad at stealing food. And that's a whole different story. But they were in the microwave. Just keep that in mind. And it was my responsibility to put away all the food in the fridge and go, right? And I was doing that, except later that night when I was laying in bed, I asked this question to my wife. I said, hey, you put away the burgers, right? And she was like, no. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. The burgers that I made, that I grilled, that I spent time on, are still in the microwave. Hours and hours later. And I started having these justifications like, hey, you know what? they're probably okay. They probably don't have any kind of bacteria growing on them. They probably won't get us sick. We'll probably be okay if we eat them. I just started justifying all the reasons why it was going to be okay to not be wasteful. Like that, I don't want to be wasteful. I don't want to throw away these burgers. They're good burgers. Well, they were good burgers. Now I just couldn't do it, so I put it in the fridge, and then my wife later disposed of them. She was the one that made sure it happened. They got to the trash. But you know what? I feel like we all kind of are like that. We kind of start justifying why it's okay to be to make wrong choices. Why is it okay that sin is still part of our lives? It's just a little thing. We're going to be okay. It's going to not that big a deal. It's not that bad, we tell ourselves. We won't get caught. I'll be okay. We try to make ourselves feel better about the sin in our life. Even sometimes we're choosing, you know, we're fighting, we're quarreling. We want our own way. You know, there's all kinds of believers in the church that are doing things that are clearly sin, but they're looking the other way and saying it's not that big a deal. Because they have this justification, we have this justification sometimes, that my desires are more important than obeying Jesus. My desires are what I want, it's what I need. I'm going to do what makes me happy. There's a quote by Sam Alberry that says, "Prayerlessness arises from a sense of independence from God." So that instead of praying about our desires, we indulge them. Rather than trusting in the Father who delights in giving good gifts to his children, we ourselves decide what is good and seek to gain it through our own efforts. And so what happens is we start saying, hey, we start justify, it's okay. Rather than letting the Father be in charge, rather than seeking him, God, is this a desire that you're putting on my heart? Is this something that I should be doing? Is this sin? We need to be discerning in my life, Lord, where am I not honoring you? Where am I disobeying you? Where am I against you? And asking this question like in James 4 here. Are we being an enemy of you, God? What in me is offensive that I'm choosing this over you? You know, we all fall short of God's standard. We all need a Savior. We need to recognize that the biggest problem that we have, far bigger than anything else, is we have a sin problem. And the problem with sin is something that we need to fix. But we can't fix it. We need a Savior. We have a sin problem, and only coming to Jesus can that sin problem be resolved. And so in verse 6 of chapter 4, James writes this. He talks about how we have all these problems, all these ways that we are being a friend of the world, and that we have this problem of sin, and it's coming out in fights. And he says this in verse 6. He says, but he gives us more grace. God gives us more grace. And he says, that's why in Scripture it says, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. God wants us to be humble. God wants us to not be proud. God gives us more grace when we show that we have a problem. And so God wants us to come to him. Verses 7 to 10 have 10 commands. Now, not the 10 commandments. They have 10 commands. So listen to them. It says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Now, I know these verses, especially like verse 9, well, no one's going to have that on their coffee mug. You know, I don't see a verse, a nice coffee mug says, grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. But why is it that James wants believers in Christ to do that? He wants us to realize that our sin is a problem. And if we're not going to think about our sin, then we are going to be lost forever. And so he wants us to submit ourselves to God. He wants us to resist the devil. You can either submit to God and resist the devil, or you can resist God and submit to the devil. That's sobering. But there's one or the other. We're submitting to either God or the devil, and we're resisting the other one. So which is it? So if we find ourselves convicted of sin, God's Spirit shows us, hey, this is wrong. What is our response? Submit to God. Resist the devil. Come near to God and come. He will come near to you. And then wash your hands. Purify your hearts. Realize that this lifestyle, that's this problem of sin, is only going to lead to death. And that we have to deal with it. And God graciously accepts us. He graciously forgives us. And He wants us to come to Him in humility. So submitting to God looks like coming to Him in humility. It means lowering ourselves, being humble. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. You know, I've thought about this word submission. Submission, right? And this word sub is this word that means like under, right? And so if we are in submission to Jesus, we are coming under. Our sub is going under the mission of Jesus. We are submitting to Jesus and what He's all about. What is His mission? His mission was to seek and save the lost. His mission was to show love and kindness. His mission was ultimately to die for the sins of the world. And so our mission is to then go tell people about this love, this God-man that came and lived a perfect life, this man that paid the price for our sin. So our mission is to tell people and to make disciples and baptize them and all the nations. So that's what submission looks like, is that we come under God's mission and we submit to God because we realize His mission is the best. His mission is way better than my mission could possibly be. And then James continues here in verse 11. He says, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Now listen, verse 13. You who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone, then, knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them. So when we submit to God, as a believer, if you are submitting fully to God and you're realizing He gives you grace to submit to Him in humility, coming to Him in humility, then what submitting to God looks like is keeping the mindset that He is Lord. We're keeping that mindset that He is in charge. That doesn't. That it's going to affect the way we speak. It's going to affect the way we think about others. We instead of slandering and judging and being all against people, we're going to be humble. We're going to keep the mindset that God's in charge and His way is the best. And we're going to start living and speaking like He's in charge. So our words and our actions are going to start changing when we keep that mindset that He is in charge. That He is the Lord and Savior. You know, our ways of living for ourselves, is in direct contrast to God's way. And so our main idea today is living my way always opposes living God's way. Now, but always, might be a question, always, living my way always opposes living God's way? But if I'm living for myself, it is always going to oppose living God's way. Living to please ourselves, living for ourselves, living the way that we want, not seeking, like in this example here, like I'm going to just go live here for a year, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and we're not seeking God's way, we're not seeking Him. When we do that, we are opposing God. We're an enemy of God, and we are living in opposition to His way. It says the Lord favors those who humbly submit to Him. God wants us to humbly realize that we are sinners, and we need to stop acting like everything's fine. We need to stop acting like we're in charge and realize that God's way is the best way, and we need to surrender it completely to Him. You know, I hear people say, oh, you know, in the Bible it says the Lord helps those who help themselves. And I, well, where in the Bible does it say that? The Lord favors those who humbly submit to Him. The Lord wants, He gives grace to those who humble themselves, not those who help themselves. Those who help themselves, that they may be living in the way of arrogance. They may be living in the way of, I'm going to do whatever I want. I can just ask God a little bit here and there. No, God wants us to seek Him first. He wants us to seek Him always. He wants us to pray without ceasing. He wants us to be committed and connected, abiding in Him and His love. And God gives us grace. He gives us grace to those who submit to Him in humility. But let me ask you, are you willing to humbly come to God and submit to His way? Ephesians 2 says it this way, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time and gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Verse 4 of Ephesians 2, it says, but because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. Those last couple verses we've been practicing in a youth group this last week, knowing this concept of God's great love and rich in mercy, understanding that there's nothing we could do that's going to save ourselves. And so God wants us to come to Him. God wants us to submit to Him. God wants us to be all in with Him. But guess what? It's really hard to do that. It's really hard to live just the way He wants. But the good thing for us is that there was one man that lived in a perfect submission to God the Father. And this one person fully submitted to God's will, even to the point of death. And that, of course, was Jesus Christ. And His prayer of submission before going to the cross was, not my will, but yours be done. That's what it looks like to be in submission to God. Not my will, not my desires, not what I want, but whatever you want, God. Living God's way and living our way are in opposite directions. In Right Now Media, there was a part of it that talked about, in biblical times, people wore rough sackcloths and sprinkled ashes on themselves to come humbly before God. And so the question then that they were asking is, what could you do to show God and to remind yourself of humility? How can you do this? Can you kneel? Can you wear a dirty shirt? Can you put soil on your face? But it says here, the specifics don't matter as much as your attitude. Because remember, that keeping that mindset that He is the Lord, that He is in charge. And it says here, take a good, long listen to God. Ask about the things that He cares about. Ask what He wants for you. And then confess your sins and receive His forgiveness, asking again and again for His wisdom. Francis Chan makes this point about this last verse. Are you going to do whatever you want to do? Or are you going to do what God is calling you to do? Are you resisting the will of God? Or are you submitting to the will of God? We can't do both. We can't be resisting God and submitting at the same time. God wants us to be submitting and surrendered to Him and to be dependent on God, not independent of God. And so is there something that the Lord has been nudging you to do that you've been resisting? Maybe you've worried about what people will think or what this would be a hard thing to do. Keep turning to God's direction. Keep asking God to show you and help you to confess those things to God, to submit to Him, and that whatever He wants that we would do. So I want to just remember that if we're living our way, we're opposing living God's way. If we're choosing to be friends of the world, then we are an enemy of God. But He doesn't end there. He says He has grace and forgiveness to us that are willing to come to Him, to be humble and surrender and submit to Him. So let's pray. God, I thank You that You are a gracious God, that You are rich in mercy, that You are full of grace. Lord, I thank You that even when we choose to be friends with the world, that we choose to be against You, God, that You still open Your arms up to us in forgiveness, that when we come to You, You accept us, that You clean us, that You purify our hearts, and You transform us to be more and more like Your Son, Jesus. We thank You for the cross. And Lord, we thank You that You have offered us a way to be right with You. So Lord, I pray that we would think clearly about how are we living and surrender it to You. In Jesus' name, amen.